Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this July 22nd, 2018 day. Got that all in as fast as I could. I'm very grateful you chose to be with me, and we're going to be looking at all about emotions. What are our emotions? Where do they come from? How much of them should be used? We're going to be looking at all of that, and I want to thank my questioners, people who have been listening to the radio program, evidently for many, many years, finally coughed up some questions. I was very, very grateful. The way I know this is from what they've told me. And I am also grateful to my sponsors. Yes, they're the ones that make all this possible. Without your sponsorship, without your kindness, your donations, we cannot pay for airtime. We can't make any of this happen. As you know, everything in this world costs money. It just does. It's a fact of life. It's the way it is. And I'm hoping that those of you who partake in the Aspire radio and TV offerings, that you will become sponsors and help us sustain and keep our radio program on the air, because it's the only way we're able to do this is through your tax-deductible gifts. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see a little button there in the middle of the page. It says support. If you click on it, A menu will come down. It says, why support Aspire? There's a lot of things that Aspire does, from hospice work that I do to working with children who are sick and handicapped, my BATMO project. There's many, many, many things that we do to serve the community and humankind in general. So you're not wasting your donation. Believe me, you're not. And if you go and look at the Why Support Aspire, you'll understand. And I hope that you will become a sponsor today. You get a lot of wonderful goodies for it. You really do. And the message of the month, access to my podcast, videocast, commentaries, as well as 244 discourses I did over the years for the many TV programs I've done. And I sincerely hope that you will enjoy them and that they will bring light to your life, because that's what they're meant to do. What are emotions? They are impulses from DNA. They alert us to danger. They also are about pleasure and pain. They are usually used in ways that are not very healthy for the majority of people in this world, but this is what we do with them. We do what we do with them, not very well, and I'm going to kind of talk about this with you. They're a necessary part of the human body and the human experience, but if you're only going to limit your life to the human experience, then, well, I guess emotions are your buddy. But they are also, they have a dark side. They have a side that can be infected easily through hurt and pain and sorrow. So it's all there with the human heart. Believe me, it is. And I'm hoping that somehow in this radio program will help you a little bit. The first question comes from Kathy in Missouri. She says, how do I, like you say in your programs, allow emotions to make my decisions for me without me knowing it? It seems that that would not be true. Kathy, it is so very true that my emotions make decisions for me when I am not conscious. Your impulses, your cravings, your desires, your those little things that we feel from time to time. Impulsiveness. I want to go do this. I want to go do that. Those are all the state of my emotions. And my emotions are telling me to do many things at different times in my life that aren't very, what shall we say, healthy or helpful to my my practice, my life, my awakening. And most people don't care about a practice, an awakening, or any of that. They just want to get through and appease their emotionality. And if that's the kind of person you are and you want to appease your emotions, then, you know, so be it. I'm not here to tell you that you're wrong or that you're bad for doing that. Not at all. But I am here to help you understand a little bit about how decisions are made within us impulsively. When the body feels some sense of either boredom or danger or something like that, it will come up with all sorts of excuses and circumstances and appetites for you to do certain things. Like when you're angry, when you've really been insulted, you can feel the emotions building in you. And they start sending messages that there is danger and that there is something to be afraid of and something to defend yourself against, because that's what emotions are basically a part of, our defense mechanisms. And so all of a sudden, your mind is alerted to this. It gets very agitated. Sometimes it gets calculated. And then the next thing you know, you're planning the demise of someone. You're doing something that is unkind, a vengeance, pride, vanity, all that kind of stuff is involved in it. And then you start, without knowing it, making these things a part of our decision making. I did it. Everybody does it. It's a part of the human mechanism. Now the mechanism is saying to you, you got to be wary of people, or you've got to be careful, blah, 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 blah. And then you start living and acting in ways that are fearful, looking only for the pleasure. Now, the opposite of emotionality is true as well, because once you start pleasuring those little buggers, they want more and more and more, and they want pleasure over pain. Their whole idea is to create as much pleasure as they possibly can over the pain you might be feeling as a person. And so this kind of builds and builds and builds until our whole life is devoted to the idea of pleasure over pain. And then anything that looks like a responsibility or drudgery to our emotional nature now starts to become a chore. You know, you get something new and then all of a sudden it becomes old in our minds, because our emotions aren't getting the thrill that they once got from it, or they see it as, well, there's something better. And this starts building and building and building in you. And as this starts to build inside of us, we start to become what people will call disenchanted with certain aspects of their life. They'll become disenchanted even with a mate, with a child, with a puppy, a pet. You can become disenchanted with all sorts of things and want something new and better and faster and more goodest. And before you know it, Kathy, these emotions, well, for the most part, are running our lives. So decisions are made without me knowing it. I've often watched my mind and my emotions do this number. All of a sudden, something becomes what I call obsolete in my life. I've suddenly decided that's obsolete. And it's too much bother for the pleasure maybe I get out of it. So the next thing I know, without me knowing it, I've made a decision about it. I haven't come to one in my mind. I haven't sat there and said, this is the decision I'm making. People will say, well, I'm thinking about it. But I've already come to the decision of it. Now I'm working on the whole idea of how do I rationalize my decision and make it seem logical, or make it seem reasonable to my life, make it righteous. So my mind will, you know, churn over that and churn over that. And then the next thing you know, I've made the decision and I'm acting on it impulsively. And I don't even know how I got to this decision or how I got to this place. I just assume I know. And as I go on and on and on with this, which people do, which human beings do, then it gets worse and worse and worse in my life. And I start allowing my emotions to tell me when I'm going to be happy, when I'm not going to be happy, what the perimeters of my happiness are, what the perimeters of my unhappiness is going to be. This is all unconscious. You know, have you ever done anything, Kathy, and then you turn around and go, who knew? Who knew I'd do that? Who knew that I could do that? All these things are in place in our life, one way or another. And as we keep them in place, as we sustain this in our life, we start to find that another decision is made, and another, just like that, until we make all sorts of decisions based on our emotionality, and our mind is trying to keep up with it by saying, well, the reason I did that was this, and we have no idea why we did it. We have no idea what's really going on. We really don't know. I'm sure you've had or done things and not known why you did them. You just did them. And the reason you did them is because of emotionality. And this is a genetic thing as well as a DNA. And it's a part of the body. And people in the world have made this look like it's some divine intervention or some wonderful thing. Oh, the passion, the emotion, the whole thing. It is not good. It does not bring about goodness in our life. It's actually the sum of all of our fears in this world to act emotionally and passionately without knowing what the heck we're doing. What are the ramifications? What are the consequences of what it is that I'm doing? People don't even think like that. They just impulsively do it. And they go, well, it's my feelings. It's the way I feel. I just felt like killing him. I just did. Things like that. I have people who are struggling with their life, their health, and they'll do things they know they shouldn't be doing. And I'll sit there and ask them in session work, well, tell me what led you to do that? And I don't know. I just felt like I could. We use the word feelings as a way, as a remedy in our own mind to get away with everything we want to do. We just do it and we go, that's just the way I wanted to do it. This pursuit of happiness thing is really ugly. Can't be said, can't be done. There are so many definite problems in our basic format of living. And one of them is thinking that the pursuit of our happiness is carte blanche to do what we want. It's a very, very dangerous thing. Very dangerous. And with habeas corpus gone, it's even more dangerous. Anyway, Kathy, thank you for your beautiful question. I hope I helped you. Probably made you angry. But then again, that wasn't your decision either. Please forgive me. Namaste. I wonder if she got that. Okay, the next one comes from Randy. He does not tell me where he lives. Is the body the home of my emotions? I just wonder where they all come from, Randy. Well, part of them from, yes, you're right. It is from the body. Just basically, it's from our bodies. And it's also directly linked to our brain, the part of our brain where we record or are alerted to danger. So, yes, it is a part of our organs, let's just say. I'm just going to keep it as simple as I can. If you want to read a very good book on all of this, the book Behave is a very, very complex but very elegant book, and it will explain this whole dilemma to you. Anyway, I'm going to leave that as it is. I highly recommend it. The body is the home of the brave. It is the place where the first line of defense occurs, where we acknowledge and can be aware of the dangers that may be around us. Now, these dangers are not just physical dangers. These dangers are emotional in the sense of our psychology, the dangers we have around us, maybe in an argument we're having or in a social setting where we feel the danger of someone's intellect being sharper than our own, or or someone not liking us, or you meet somebody for the first time and you feel like they don't like you, you can sense that, or that they do like you and you can sense that. Emotions are inside of us. They become a perception, and they are a part of the body. A very big part, because the body is always feeling vulnerable to its environment. And because of that vulnerability in our environment, it is always seeking some kind of safety or defense mechanism to keep it safe. So that is going on all the time, constantly within us. And in this constant movement of trying to get some kind of safety in us, we suffer grievously for it, because that's the way we live our life. We live our life in the ugliness of trying to take our emotionality from being quote-unquote negative, which some people have just deep, deep depression over their emotionality. People say, I'm depressed about, you know, this, that, and the other in my life. Well, whatever those things are, they're emotional subjects, and the emotions have attached the idea of either hopelessness or the future of some kind of pain arising out of it. Maybe having to deal with a very painful and complex difficulty in your life that has to do with a friend or a mate or a child or something like that, and we have to deal with it. And so the emotions kind of sense danger, danger, danger. And when that starts to happen, then the mind starts pumping all sorts of ideas of how to avoid it. And then the body starts pumping adrenaline and chemicals. And before you know it, the whole thing has gone haywire, and we're very, very defensive. So yes. Yes, Randy, the body is the home of the emotionality. And they can trigger all sorts of things in us. And if you watch it, if you can stand back and watch and not get involved, but just stand back and watch. Watch how the emotions kind of grind away subtly and as well as overtly, but it's the subtle ones you want to watch. And as you watch them get more and more and more subtle and more wanting certain things to happen and certain things not to happen, and the more you start to see that inside of yourself, the more you will understand the nature of what it is to have human emotions. Human emotions, what are they? Well, that's an interesting thing, I think. Very interesting. It's just fascinating to me that we don't understand how we are made up and what we are made up of. The reason we don't understand it, basically, and I hate to say this, is because we are emotionally too involved with our fears of emotionality, and we just don't have the mental acuity to do anything. We just really are dumbed down. That's why we are where we are in this world, in this country, in our lives, because we're far too emotional, and we've dumbed ourselves down through emotionality, and we have no sense of awareness. So therefore, everything looks like it does to us, like a threat, and why we take sides and all sorts of craziness ensues. And then you got to look at it and ask yourself, is this as far as I go? And for most part, it is as far as most people go. I hate to say that, Randy, I really do, but it is true. We are emotional train wrecks in this country. And in fact, in all countries, not just here, but I live here. So I look at it from this point of view, and it doesn't get better as we get older, or if you satisfy the emotions, it just doesn't get better. Thank you, Randy, for your beautiful question. And I want to thank you for your side comments about the TV programs. I put a lot of work into them. And yes, I am very grateful for what you have said. And I'm grateful you find happiness or some kind of insight into it, as you said in your email. Please forgive me. Namaste. All right, the last question is really a good one. I mean, top notch. Comes from Carl. He does not tell me where he lives. Jesus said God is love. Is God emotional? Carl, it's so perfect what you said, and I'm so intrigued. If we are the image and likeness of God, then you would have to, logically think to yourself, well, if Jesus says God is love, he must have emotions too. And we probably think of him, as a man. And it would look as though from the history that we see in the Bible, not modern history, but in the Bible history, which is Eastern and written thousands of years ago and tampered with and all sorts of things, that he is emotional. he doesn't deal with Adam and Eve very well. Then Sodom and Gomorrah starts, and he doesn't deal with that one very well, but very emotional on both sides. And then he supposedly gives us his only begotten son and treats him like crap emotionally. Kills him and says, oh, well, you're going to die for all these ne'er-do-wells that just literally are living their lives for the sake of emotionality. And does he have supreme emotion? Is that what it's all about? The intelligent person cannot fathom the Bible and cannot buy it the way it is presented. And you have to understand the mentality of the people in those days, their mental state, their limitations with language and custom and culture and society. There's so many things that have to be considered. And if you don't have the mental acumen to understand all of that, if you don't have the acuity to understand that mentally, and you just take it for literal purposes because you're emotional and you don't want to be bothered with the gory little details of reality, then you're going to think that God has emotion and that there even is a God like we think there is, like you've been taught in religion, of this man who is the all-powerful Oz, who knows better than everyone else and yet has allowed this earth to turn into crapola. You got to wonder, huh? You got to wonder. God is love. That is for sure. How do I know that? I wouldn't call it God. Love permeates everything, and that is God, but not God in the sense of a critter, a being, who is like a man and takes the form of a human body as a human body in the clouds somewhere. Not at all. And God is not this dude that you pleasure or you pain, you beg or you somehow show him how deserving you are to have whatever wishes you might want in your life, things like that. It just doesn't work like that. God is a state of being within you. It is the loving state of being. It has nothing to do with emotionality, has nothing to do with good and bad, right and wrong. It has nothing to do with anything. It is just the basic principle of which this universe runs on a sense of intelligence that is not separate from us. And the questions we have about God and all of that are there because we have separated from God as love. Once we are one with all of it, then it all starts to come together and you realize what it means to say, God is love. It is the most beautiful thing a person can realize. Most beautiful self-realization you will ever have. I gotta go. Ah, Carl, thank you for your beautiful question. I'm out of here. Be back on the air next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Hope this helped. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.